May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." And God gives humanity responsibility for the care and keeping of all creation. Now, I know that isn't in the appointed readings for today, but I did find in my imagination that I kept hearing this bit of the first chapter of Genesis as I read through our gospel this week, meditating and praying for inspiration about what to say to you this morning. The word image in Greek is icon, whose cognate icon is pretty familiar to us. And this word icon has been translated for us as head in the New Revised Standard Version for some reason. And this makes it a little bit harder to make the connection Jesus makes between the tax coin and with the image that was imprinted there and the creation story at the beginning of Genesis. The image and the title imprinted upon the coin that is used to pay the emperor's tax read on one side, "Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus." Hear the claim to divinity there. On the other side was printed "Pontifex Maximus," or high priest, of course, one of our titles for Jesus Christ. The fact that the Pharisees and the Herodians can produce such an idolatrous coin in the temple, no less, which is where this story takes place, is evidence of their hypocrisy. And that leads us to the point of this encounter. "Give therefore to the emperor what is the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And with this one sentence, Jesus issues a challenge to his hearers that resonates through the ages into this space today. Now, we can hear this pronouncement in different ways. We might consider it a warning to be wary of the power of secular and political forces to distract us from our allegiance to God. We might hear in this challenge a message of stewardship. It is the season, after all. This is Jesus' reminder to us that everything we have is God's gift, and that we are meant to be generous and faithful with the things that are God's. Both of these readings are valid and provide ample material for any good preacher. But as I said, this time, the Holy Spirit has been nudging me toward working with the idea of our image of God bearing that connects the concluding pronouncement of our gospel reading this morning with the creation story in Genesis, with which I began just a few moments ago. I suspect that the Pharisees and the Herodians would have caught that connection too, as would the crowd who had gathered to listen in on this conversation. So what is the connection between this pronouncement and that first pronouncement of God concerning humanity? Theologian David Lowe puts it this way: "We bear God's likeness and are therefore made to be more than we sometimes realize." Think about that. We bear the imprint of God's image and likeness. And God has declared that we are to be caretakers of all creation, of each other, this place. We are called to be co-laborers with God in using our gifts in partnership with the one who creates, sustains, redeems, and renews all things. and God's great dream for creation is shalom, that word we often hear as peace. I find the definition of shalom as given by our former presiding bishop, Catherine Jeffords Shorey, to be particularly apt in this case. Shalom means that all human beings live together as siblings. We are brothers and sisters, at peace with one another and with God, and in right relationship with all the rest of creation. My brothers and sisters, we are called to nothing less than the cultivation of shalom in partnership with God, using the gifts of God, which are given through us, not to us. The people of God partner with each other and with God to cultivate the peace, the health, the wholeness that characterize the kingdom of God. And I realize as I make that statement that it's much easier to say than to do. The obstacles to cultivating shalom are many, and they are very problematic. Just figuring out where to start is one of the biggest obstacles. The truth is that even amongst faithful Christians, there are many different ways of seeing the problems that we are trying to overcome. Poverty, violence, moral decay, you name a problem, and I guarantee that there is a multiplicity of beliefs about the cause and cure for it just in this room, let alone when we go out into other larger gatherings. It is daunting to wade into the complexity of each call to cultivate shalom, but we must be willing to do it. It's difficult and frustrating to go through the necessary work of making space for the views and voices of those with whom we're called to co-labor, but we must. We embody the kingdom that Jesus proclaims by turning again and again and again and again to the pursuit of shalom. We begin by remembering, as often as we can, that we do bear God's likeness and are therefore made to be more than we realize. You've heard the saying, I'm sure, be the change you want to see in the world. Does that sound familiar? Today, I hear Jesus calling us to be the shalom of God's dream for this world on earth as it is in heaven. And there's one simple thing that each one of us can do this week to make it so. Look for the image of God in each person you meet. Remember, that person is also made for more than you realize. And give to God's image in that person the love and the respect that you would give to God. It really is just that simple. So just go out. Remember two words if you don't remember anything else. Shalom, y'all. Amen.